Welcome to Christian Medical and Dental Association's chapel. We trust this message will encourage your walk with the Lord.
Good morning, all, and thank you for having me back today. And just a blessing to be with you all and giving all glory and all honor and all praise to God. And I pray that this message that I'm going to share this morning, I'm preaching it to myself and also sharing it with you all just because I believe it's just what the Lord put on my heart. And just pray that it blesses you today. And I'm just going to open us again in prayer on this word. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to partake in your word, Lord, and just to have it really deeply rooted in us, Father, to really hear your word, Lord, and receive and believe your word. Lord, you're just a wonderful God who wants just rest and peace for your children, despite whatever circumstance presented to us, Lord. So you want to be very much, Lord, attentive to your word. So, Lord, your servants are listening, and we just want to take your word as it is. In Jesus' name, amen. So this message, if you want to put that PowerPoint on the screen, Rusty, this message is called Every Piece of Peace. And I think in this world we can experience there's something missing, right? Like if we were to have the peace that the world offers, it's not whole. It's not reliable. It leaves us empty. It leaves us frustrated. So if you want to go to that next slide, Rusty, if you all see this photo in this next slide, and if you see that, what does that automatically bring to you? I mean, the pictures don't need a lot of explanation, right? We've all been in situations where something went wrong with your travel or the reservation you made or the meal you ordered wasn't what you thought it was. We all know what it feels like to be shortchanged when what we were promised isn't what we got. I mean, imagine paying for a $30 meal and the main protein was supposed to be shrimp, but you get two pieces of shrimp. I mean, something's wrong with that, right? So we're saying, like, in this world, we're promised things, and we find ourselves, like, at the people who are in this photo here with the travel, something went wrong with his travel, the people behind him are frustrated. What was promised to them was not delivered. And so we're all feeling like, okay, the peace of this world will make us feel such experiences, next slide, Rusty, can leave us feel less than whole. It makes us feel frustrated. It also makes us question the reliability or the surety of the promise. Is this going to deliver what it's supposed to deliver? This is what the false peace is of the world. And I think sometimes we are surprised when we hear about a particular celebrity. I'm thinking of like Anthony Bourdain, who traveled the world, who got to experience international cuisine and got paid to travel the world. And we learned, unfortunately, that he decided to commit suicide to take his life. And whatever peace that he was, quote unquote, resting in or trusting in, was not one that kept him rooted, not one that kept him rooted through the waves and the changes of life and ebbs and flow of life. And we've learned about a number of people who have either trusted in substances or other vices or things that would leave them feeling less than whole, that would eventually bring them frustration, would make them question the reliability of the surety of the promise that this false peace offers. Gratefully, we know of a peace through Christ, through God's word, that is sure. And we don't have to question whether that God's word is sure. However, we don't question it because we know the word, but do we really know it? Do we really believe it? God's word is infallible, it's perfect, and yet I think at times we are on what I call poise, peace or poise. And I think poise reminds me of when you're perhaps at a performing a recital as a kid or a spelling bee. You have to go on stage, put on a face of confidence and control. You got to show like you've got it all together. But this might be perhaps our human default or our idol control, needing to figure it out. It is our nature. It is our tendency to want to figure something out, understand it, to see it through its logical conclusion. we want to make sure that we have an answer or a certainty about something. JC, I'm thinking about you and praying for you and Aaron as you wait out these next days or hours, hopefully, that you're waiting for your baby to be delivered and wanting to know, like, okay, God, when is this going to happen? You know, so we is something about us wanting to figure it out, wanting to help God, tell God how to make this happen. And so not saying that any of us are not already in God's peace, but I'm wondering at times if our human default, our idol for control, our idol for wanting to figure things out, what takes us away, takes us out of the peace, the wholeness of the peace of Christ, that we're missing a piece, P-I-E-C-E, of God's P-E-A-C-E. God says that he gives us a peace, a promise that passes all understanding, and he gives us a peace not as the world gives, because he has already figured it out. And I was listening to a message a couple of weeks ago from Dr. Tony Evans, who's one of my favorite pastors to listen to. He says, never let your feelings sit in judgment over your feelings. You must always let your faith sit in judgment over your feelings. And this from a message he says, when God allows a crisis, why God allows a crisis. So we say, never let your feelings sit in judgment over your feelings. Your feelings are your feelings, but they are not to dictate your faith. Your faith should sit in judgment over your feelings. And I know that we have been through a lot, you know, I think about the pandemic and the number of different things we've gone through in the past maybe 2 years or more, various things that we have gone through, just kind of taking an inventory of what we've gone through collectively and personally in this time that we're living in right now. And there's so many things that are bombarding us, whether it's personal situations or whatnot. So it's not like we're not denying what we're feeling. We're not denying that there's concerns and things going on. We're not denying that there's health concerns. We're not denying that there's other things going on that are actually have our mind or our attention. But these things all have ultimately come under subjection, come under the authority and the assurance of God's word. So we're not denying those feelings, we're not overriding them. But again, knowing that God is true to his word and that God has a final say over that situation, over our circumstances. So I think, you know, thinking about how the world tends to what I call like prop itself up with praise, looking cool and collected on the outside, but a wreck on the inside. They may prop themselves up through other things. We know that we can take our burdens to the Lord. He says, cast your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. So we honestly, folks, we have no need, no desire to look like we're propped up by something else other than the word of God holding us up. But that's where we ultimately find our true rest. People can look at us and say, wow, how are you so calm in that situation? It's not because we're operating in our own strength. We're operating in a peace that just, again, surpasses all understanding. And when I think about that song, I'm sure you all know the hymn, oh, what peace forfeit, oh, what needless pains we bear if we do not take it to the Lord in prayer. So we're thinking about the world is not acting in that regard. But the world is actually not taking these things to the Lord in prayer. We have the opportunity. We have such a high priest, praise God, that we can take our issues, whatever is big or small, insignificant or large, to the Lord in prayer, and we can leave them there with him. Praise God. So Isaiah 26:3 tells us to keep our eyes on Jesus. Our eyes on Jesus and not our problems. It says that he will keep in perfect peace him or her whose mind is steadfast because they trust in him. So I love that scripture. It's one of the scriptures that I go to often. I meditate on it often because it's like my mind can be very active, thinking about all the different things I need to be doing. It's actually more active at night as I'm processing all the things of the day or whatever else occurred. So Lord, help me to keep my mind stayed on you so that I can leave things, these things in your very capable hands, that I don't have to be poised. I don't have to be propped up in some kind of false peace because, Lord, it's your peace that is keeping me. Amen. So, and also the scripture, I love the scripture that says, I will look to the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. And I go to also Romans 15:13, which reads, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Next slide. So, my question is, how do we go from poise to peace? And again, I'm not suggesting that any of you are on poise. You may be fully operating in the peace of Christ. I'm simply saying there may be an area in your life where you feel like you still need to have that answer, or need to fix it, or have to have yourself propped up because we feel like we're not fully confident in the peace of the Lord. So God gives us an answer to how we go from poise to peace. And that answer is found in Joshua 1:8. Next slide. It says, meditate on my word day and night. Meditate on my word day, night. Now, when I thought about the word meditate, it really means to kind of chew the cud. If you want to go to the next slide, Rusty, it means to kind of chew the cud, mull over what God has said, kind of like how a cow chews its cud. It means to think deeply about what God has said to us, to roll it over and over in your mind, to drive the word deeply into us so that it's not just head knowledge, but it's actually touching our hearts. It leads our actions. It settles our emotions and our fears. And it lets us know that we're being led by God's perspective, not being led by our fears or our opinions or even the culture. And I was talking with a dear sister in Christ, one of my dear sisters in Christ, who had a really unusual slip and fall. Mid-January, she was going up the stairs wearing a pair of socks, and somehow or other, she slipped and fell the stairs and fell on her back. And, you know, she was alone in the home. She had sent her husband off to work, got him breakfast. He was off to work, and their stepdaughter was at school. So she was alone in the house on her back. And she said it was about a minute or two before the breath had gotten knocked out of her, came back into her. She literally knocked the breath out of her. So come to find out that after going to the hospital and getting checked out, she had fractured her T7. So, and I'm not familiar with what that is, but it's truly an area where it's causing her a lot of pain. So that was back in mid-January. So in mid-January, from like really the last few weeks, the most recent few weeks, she's been laid on her back to heal, to rest, to recover. Well, do you know that this has given her time to meditate on God's word? And so she began looking at like the Lord's Prayer, and she began taking it like word by word, line by line. So the first line that says, our Father, who art in heaven, she took the word our Father, and she says, our Father, what does that mean to me? What is our Father? What does that word mean to me? It means to me a provider. It means to me someone who cares about me, someone who loves me, someone who, when I ask them something, that I need something, that they're going to provide for me. She would begin to talk to herself about what those words actually meant in that first part of that sentence. I'll be honest with you. When I read the scripture, and I have done Bible tracks, I've done them like back-to-back years in a row and read the Bible from cover to, you know, from Genesis to Revelation and all the books in between, I don't know that I've actually meditated like she has done in that word, like really break down what those words mean. So I'm asking us to partake in an exercise, and however God leads you to do it, I'm just simply saying that for us to really not only just have a head knowledge of God's word, we have a heart knowledge of God's word, and we have an assurance of God's word that our Father, who loves us so much, as Mike told us a couple of weeks ago, that he loves us so much that it's beyond the grains of sand, that his love is toward us. So I'm saying that as I read this first scripture on this slide here, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. From John 14:27. And we can read these scriptures and talk about what does that mean when God says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. For me, it means that his word is settled. When Jesus did die on the cross for us, when he wrote, his word is settled. So when he says, my peace I leave with you, it's not something that we have to continually try to get. It's our inheritance, brothers and sisters. It's ours. So it's just meaning that we need to just continue to operate in it. And he gives us a peace that the world is not giving us, one that is not sure, one that's going to leave us feeling even more empty than the day before. It's one that's going to keep us. So when he says, do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let it be afraid. And God knew how many times, I don't know how many times, worry shows up in the world. He says, do not fear. do not be afraid, because you know it's our natural inclination because of the fallen world we're in, because of the flesh we're clothed in. That fear is a natural default. If we don't have the answers, if we don't see the path, if we don't see the staircase in front of us, that we have a natural inclination to fear. But he says, peace I give you. It's settled. It's done. It's finished. So we go on to the next scripture, which I love. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. Be thankful, Colossians 3:15. Here he says, Hebrews 13:5, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. That's a promise. God is God of character, and God's God of his word. When he says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. I know that you all have a personal history with the Lord, however long you've been journeying with the Lord. You can have it go back and look over your life or even today and say, I know that he's with me. He's with me now and with me tomorrow. And he says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So whatever we face today or tomorrow, the Lord has already overcome it, and we can be settled again by his word. Next slide, Rustin, please. So as we look on these scriptures, again, I have another one here from Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. And here again, we see in Mark 4:39, it says, and he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased. There was a great calm. That was when Jesus was in the boat, and the disciples, you all know the story. And to be honest with you, I would have been like, how is Jesus asleep in this boat? It's like dark. You can't see anything but the wind. They knew the wind was moving the boat tremendously. And Jesus was very much in the back of the boat, resting peacefully. You know, some people can sleep through anything. I'm not one of those people. I'm definitely a light sleeper. Jesus had such a peace in that boat, even when it was being tossed and turned. And he spoke to the wind with such an authority. And he says, peace, still. And the scriptures I referred to here earlier, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be moved. He will never let the righteous be shaken. Psalm 55:22. And last, he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer, supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:6-7. And I'm listing here a few scriptures, and you may have more. I welcome hearing anything else that you all may have to share, because I'm sure I missed a number of scriptures that reference prayer, that reference speak to God's character, speak to God's assurance of who he is, what he's done, and what he's promised to us. And my next to last slide here. So we want to make sure that we're getting every piece. I mean, every piece of God's peace, that we're not allowing any thought or narrative or news or whatever, or just not even having an answer, steal or rob us of any peace that God has already given us. It's already settled in his word. So for us, it means meditating on God's word day and night, so that it's not only our head knowledge, but it's our heart knowledge, and it's leading us through the emotions that we might be feeling. It's leading us, and it's not dictating how we live out our faith. It's truly we're letting God's word be the lead and authority over our life, even in times of uncertainty. And also for bringing our concerns to God, he said, cast your cares on me, because I care for you. We have such a high priest that we can bring all of our needs to him. And I'm so very grateful. Also, we believe God. He's dependable. He's faithful. And he honors his word. And last, God has not forgotten about you. He says he will never leave you. Will he forsake you? And that's really all I have. What a prayer. I just pray that anything that I have said here may have resonated with your spirit, may have resonated with you in a position where you're at right now, or you know, facing a situation where you don't have all the answers, you don't see all the staircase, that God's word is settled and it's sure, He can truly rest in his peace. He wants his children to rest despite what's going on. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you are a God who, Lord, who cares for us so deeply that you want your children to be at rest. That your word is sure, that it, set out, that it sets out to accomplish what you said it's going to accomplish, Father, and that the peace that you've given us is our inheritance. We don't have to be on poise. We don't have to be composed about fake promises and the peace of this world. Lord, we have a peace that surpasses all understanding through Christ Jesus, and I just simply thank you. Lord, if there's anything in us that is putting up a false peace or unpoised or uncomposed, Lord, that is of this world, we reject that in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we just want to make sure that we're, Lord, resting in your peace, Lord, peace that Christ has given us, Lord, that we can be a light to the world, that we can be such a display and an example to the world, Lord, that what they're trusting in is going to fail them, is going to leave them empty. And Lord, we're just praying that they will seek us, will see the living waters flowing through us, Lord, that they will want the peace that we have that comes from you. Lord, I thank you for these dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Bless them in their day and their week ahead. Bless all the things that concern them, Father. I know that you'll perfect everything that concerns them, as your word says, Father. And Lord, we just simply thank you for being a God who loves us so much beyond the grains of sea, of sand, that ever. Lord, we thank you, love you, praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I welcome hearing anything. I'm going to turn back over to Bert. Well, I welcome hearing any scripture that I may have missed, that I know I missed, that you all are trusting in as something that you stand on that helps you be grounded in the peace of God.